T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
The Athletics, Jason Woy. Jason, man, how's it going?
I never thought we were about to have the conversation we're going to have.
Oh, and we're going to have it because we have so many questions we need to unpack here.
Jake, I have not done any radio interviews about this. Like, I haven't done anything. This is it. One and only.
Okay.
Well, it better be with us, and it is. So this is perfect.
That's what I'm saying with you guys. That's it.
This is perfect.
We got the exclusive. Can I hit him with the first one?
Hit him with the first one.
All right, first one. What was your wife's reaction to this being the story that you were assigned?
Do you want me to be honest?
Of course.
She still is not speaking. Seriously.
She's not happy?
Can you explain to her that got so much more traction and so much more likes and retweets than ever would have happened if you wrote something about, like, the Georgia running back connection in this game?
Well, and that's sort of the whole thing and all of this. First of all, frankly, I'm surprised I'm here. Like, I haven't covered the NFL that much, let's be honest. I've been in the NBA world for the last 8 years. And when the Athletic told me we want you on our Super Bowl team, it was like, okay. And so kind of my marching orders, I had a conference call for a couple other issues, and I was talking to one of the higher-ups with our company. And basically he said, we want you there because you look at stories differently, and we think you can bring something different than what we normally see. And this, you know, the strip club story is actually a traditional story within Super Bowl week. It really is. Like, if you go back and look over the years, some variation of this story surfaces a lot of times, and it's something that we discussed internally. And being that this was my role, it made sense for me to be the one to do it. And I wanted to do it in a way that was tasteful, that was respectful. You know, I'm not in this club making it rain at midnight, regardless of how maybe it looked on. I know I have people saying, I can't wait to turn in these expenses. Like, I'm talking to these girls. They're fully clothed, number one. It's 6 o'clock, you know, number two. So it's... I walked in and out without paying anything. You know, it's not like I'm racking up these charges. So I think that it's just, I think people have a little bit different conception of how it actually unfolded. But I was thrilled with the end product. I thought it was kind of funny, lighthearted, and a good time.
So was it your idea, or was it like a collaborative idea?
It was collaborative. It was definitely collaborative. And like I said, it was something that had been discussed, something that's really kind of a staple of Super Bowl coverage. It really kind of is. I think what made this one maybe a little bit more outrageous was just, well, first of all, the quotes, of course. and secondly, just the timing. Like, so, you know, I'm walking and I'm talking to this cop. I spent 2 days on this, like, scrambling here, there, and everywhere. And I was just talking to a cop who happened to be patrolling. The police here is incredible. This is my first Super Bowl. I don't know if it's always like this. But you can't go more than 10 feet without seeing an officer, and most of them have guns the size of me. So the security here is incredible. And I was just happened to be talking to a cop in a car, and he's actually the one who told me, he's like, well, any dancer here has to get licensed. He said, if you go down to the permit office, you'll see them in droves. And he was right. So I just happened to walk into the permit office, and a few minutes after I get there, this is when the worker walks out, swings open the door and says, we're out of ink. And I'm standing there going, there are a few moments in life in your career where you're like, oh, my God, am I in the right place at the right time? And that was one of them, because just I talked to another guy. I'm like, wait a minute, did I hear that right? You guys are out of ink? And that's what he said. Oh, you try to place an order, and it didn't come in time, and then that's why they are where they are. And so that's kind of how that whole thing came together. But, yeah, just kind of right place, right time in terms of the setting. And then obviously, you know, some of the quotes from the Uber driver and from the elderly dancers. That was pretty remarkable.
Jason Lloyd is with us from The Athletic. He wrote the article, Sex and the Super Bowl, When World-Famous Strip Clubs and the World's Biggest Game Collide for One Chaotic Week. All right, so let's go back to the permit office here for a second. So these girls who are flown in or fly in on their own dime, I assume, to work.
Droves.
So like thousands or hundreds or however many it may be, they all come to Atlanta. They arrive, and the first thing they have to do is they have to go to this permit office. They got to spend, $250 for a permit? What does that entail? Like, they gotta like get a license before they can dance?
Yeah. So first thing they have to do, they have to check in with their club, wherever it is they think they're going to dance that week, and the club checks them over and makes sure that they are not getting catfished, basically, and make sure that the girl is how she presented herself to be. And once she's approved and agreed upon, okay, you can work here this week, then you can go to this office. You got to go down to the license office. They're fingerprinted, their background checked. If they have any sort of prostitution convictions or anything like that, then they can't get a license. They're automatically out. And I guess it's kind of like that everywhere. I don't know if that was just in Atlanta, but it sounds like that's kind of standard around. I don't know that for sure. That's just kind of the impression I got. And you got to pay for a year, whether you're there for a week or a year, it doesn't matter. You got to pay the $250 a year. So these girls are coming in paying $250 each. Now think about that, how much money the city of Atlanta is making just off of these girls that are coming in, these women that are coming in and paying $250 each. You know, I put the story, they're making $100,000 just off these licensing fees, if not more. So it's just a cash cow. And they get their license, they get approved, and then they can go work. Well, kind of what was complicating matters, and I really didn't get into this in the story, but, you know, these girls, some of them drove quite a while to get there. And so they were tired, they're sitting in this office, they're waiting for their permits, and then they come out and say, well, we're out of ink, you might have to come back tomorrow. Well, they were planning on working that evening. So, and frankly, I don't know how it turned out. I never did bother to follow back and see. You know, I didn't care that much. But if they were able to get their permits in time to work Wednesday night or not, but that's a huge loss. If they came all the way down there and they missed out, you know, that's a couple grand that they missed out on a Wednesday night. So that's why a lot of them were annoyed with the whole, you may have to come back the next day, because that's a night of work that they were not going to be able to work if they didn't get the paperwork done in time.
Yeah, and the money exchange is absolutely wild in this story, Jason. But one of my favorite parts about this story is I feel like, and this is what solidifies you as one of my favorite writers, is that you had me in a way of feeling empathy and compassion and then rooting for some of these strippers as well. And in particular, I had a favorite at the end of it, like Blondie. Blondie was my absolute favorite. Like, just out here to save the other strippers. She's like the Batman stripper. I like, is there any way, like, you had to have done it its due justice, but how did you find upon such an interesting character?
Well, so, and by the way, Blondie, like, had poetry that she wanted me to read and critique for her, too.
Because, of course, she did.
Very, 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 very awkward. But, so, I mean, you know, everyone knows, and just sort of asking around about, like, okay, I don't want to spend my week, believe it or not, I don't want to spend my entire week at Super Bowl going around to all these strip clubs. So let's pick, like, two and really hit them hard. And Magic City was an obvious choice because it is the most popular. And it was the one club that the Rams were told by team security, do not go in there. And number two, the Claremont Lounge is the oldest one in the city, and it's known for having elderly dancers. And I said, oh, my God, I have to go. So I called up the owner and said, I'm in town, I'm with the media, I'd like to do a story. So I talked to her for a few minutes, and she just picked out these dancers. And Blondie's, I guess, I didn't know this. One of the women on our staff, the Athletic, who actually went to college in the Atlanta area, said, oh, yeah, Blondie's a legend in Atlanta. They've done documentaries on her, and, like, everybody knows who this Blondie is.
Wow.
And she was quite a character. And I did not stay around for the shows, for the entire shows, but she wanted me to watch her do the splits. So I did stay long enough to watch her get on stage and do the splits. And then I waved and left before it got out of hand.
Can we talk, Jason, about Magic City Monday? We all know Jermaine Dupri and Welcome to Atlanta and the song and all that. Yeah. And he coined the phrase Magic City Monday. And, excuse me, you talk about the Magic City parking lot on Monday night where people will pay $60 to $100 and some just to park.
Yep.
And then probably a cover charge, I assume, to get in the door. So you're like dropping $1.50 as just a normal citizen to try and get into this club. And then how much more you spend on top of that? Did you see some of that?
No. So the way that played out, I wanted to go just to get a feel for it. I didn't want to go in the club Monday night because I knew it was going to be there'd just be too much going on. I just wanted to get a sense so that I could write about it. So I did go over there. I mean, Monday night is media day, and the way the NFL does it, I was kind of screwy. It's so late. You know, I didn't get out of State Farm Arena until, I mean, it had to be after 11 by the time we were done with the actual NFL stuff. So I just wanted to go over there and just get a look. And that's where I saw the guy in the parking lot and the cars wrapped around. It was $60 or $100, depending on where you were parking and your location and how close to the door. And I went up to the door and I looked, and it was $50 to get in. And I talked to the girl at the door and I told her what I was doing. And she said, you got to call back tomorrow, which I knew. Again, that was their rush hour. And she said, you have to call back tomorrow and set something up. So that's what I did. So I didn't go in to see Magic City Monday. I've heard plenty. And in talking to Katrina, who kind of runs the club, and she said it's a lot of, like, the stars are out, and it's a chance for ordinary citizens to mingle with the stars. And that's kind of one of the draws of it, or why it's so popular, is because, like, 50 Cent was in there Monday. I didn't know that at the time, but 50 Cent and Julio Jones were in there Monday night. And it's just one – I mean, it's not – you know, when you think of a strip club, you think of, like, the neon lights and, you know, these glamorous stages and these lights. And, you know, you think of a Vegas club or something like that. It's really not that at all. It's kind of a small room, 26 tables, and that's it. There's no private rooms. There's no nothing. That's just one room. And they said they like it that way because they can keep an eye on everything. They don't have to worry about what goes on in private rooms and all that. And so the club itself is not really a whole lot to look at. It's just the clientele that it draws, and the reason it draws is because the owner of the club kind of has these relationships with these hip-hop artists and these athletes that are in town, and everyone just kind of knows, like, that's the guy to know. And, like, you know, Katrina was telling me that Jermaine Dupri basically grew up in the club, and they look at the club owner as sort of like their father. It's just weird. Like, it's a different culture down here with, like the Uber driver was saying, with strip clubs, and there are so many of them, and so many people go, and you know, he drove a family with a son and a daughter, and it's just, some of the stuff just blew my mind. Like, it just blew my mind. It was crazy.
Yeah, it's amazing because the stigma is just so different, and I felt like in reading the story that, some people go check out, I don't know, Chick-fil-A headquarters, and then maybe you make your way down to a famous park or a different part of the city, and then, like, it's just on your Zagat guide that you go and check out the different strip clubs in Atlanta.
Yeah, especially Magic City. And they're building a place outside where if people are embarrassed, they don't want to go inside. If they want a T-shirt, they can just pull into the parking lot and they can just buy a T-shirt out of this makeshift building that they're kind of putting up, that they're going to keep up year-round. They're going to have it up in time for the Super Bowl, they said. And then they'll just sort of keep it up year-round. So people who don't really want to go in the club, if they at least want a T-shirt, they can do that as well. It's a different world, man. It's a different world.
Jason Lloyd is with us. He wrote the article for The Athletic. It is titled Sex and the Super Bowl, When World-Famous Strip Clubs and the World's Biggest Game Collide for One Chaotic Week. And we're talking about it right now. His one and only interview, he says, on the story.
I don't really want to be known as the strip club writer guy. So.
Well, you kind of are now, Jason.
You kind of just got to own it.
Yeah, you kind of just got to wear it with and just embrace it.
All your years of LeBron just got wiped away with now being a strip club story guy. That's
all,
it.
The book and everything just wiped away.
Sadly, this story was twice as read as anything else I've ever written at The Athletic. Twice.
I believe it. I saw
all
the
LeBron stuff. All the LeBron stuff I wrote over the years. This had double the readership of anything else
I've ever written
at The Athletic.
Wait till you're in next Friday and we do a podcast with you and several others about this.
It's actually going to be a stripper roundtable.
Oh, yeah.
That's going to be a roundtable. We'll talk with the strippers and get the inside story of it.
Oh, my God in heaven.
But you see that headline, and there's no way you don't click on it. Like, you have to.
Yeah, it got our attention, and we certainly read it. Every young man in town is probably talking about this with their buddies this week. It's a fascinating story. And I want to just dive in just a little deeper here, because you talk about these girls and how much money they're making. So, like, this is a cash business, right, Jason? So these girls making 15, 20 Gs, like, do they have bodyguards to, like, walk them to their cars and to their Ubers? And, like, I'm sure they're going to get on a plane and carry, like, 20 Gs back to, you know, like, Los Angeles or Minneapolis or wherever they're from?
Yeah. And that's a good point. And no, like, I mean, they might have security walk them out, but that's the extent of it. And, you know, part of the mind-blowing part to me in this was, these girls work all night long, and then they take Uber pool to save $3. They've got $2,000 in their pocket or however much, and they take an Uber pool because it's $3.50 cheaper than Uber X, which anyone who is familiar with Uber understands it's exactly what it says. It is Uber pool is a carpool, and Uber X, you're by yourself. And yeah, they're just dragging this money around with them, and, you know, you hope they brought a safe and put a safe in their room. And, you know, and I'm in the parking lot, and it's funny because So I'm in the parking lot of that permit office, and I'm watching this elderly woman stand out here in direct traffic because there's so many cars, and the women coming in don't realize that they're out of ink and there's nothing they can do. So these all these other people are trying to get out, and the workers are trying to get out and go to lunch, and it's just this mad crush. So it was funny looking in the parking lot because most of these women drove into town. Obviously, they're in their personal cars, and there's BMWs, and there's Mercedes, and then there's like a Ford Taurus, a 92 Ford Taurus that won't even start and is all rusted out. It was just the dichotomy of it was so strange to watch because these are all girls in the same profession, and some are in the major leagues and some are in AAA. But they all pretty much looked like, from what I could tell, it looked like maybe a couple of them had taken an Uber over, but for the most part, they were in their own cars, and they clearly had drove themselves to Atlanta. And just the vast array of their finances, you know, you could see by what they were driving how well they do in their profession.
Got to love The Athletic because they let you get away with a line like this from Paula. We thought that Blondie was the oldest, 62, but Paula is 72. I'm not going to read this line. I don't want to get fired. But there's a line that talks about a dead gopher.
It stays with
and
you.
And you can go read it yourself at The Athletic. But, Jason, you met a 72-year-old dancer?
She was 68. The 72-year-old was off that night. Paula
okay,
is 68.
Excuse me.
She'll be 69 okay. next month.
Nice.
Ironic.
And yes, she gave that was probably the quote of my career was the dead gopher line. And we sat here and deliberated for 2.5 hours yesterday whether or not we could print it. And we ran it all the way up to the top. There are 5 females within The Athletic who are here in Atlanta as part of our team. And I said to all of them, I will defer to you on this. Like, if you guys think it's offensive, we won't run it. I won't push for it. If you guys think it should go, then I'm going to push that it should go. And all 5 of them said they thought it was hilarious. They thought it was great. There was nothing, it's graphic, but not necessarily vulgar because of the terminology that was used. It was normal body parts. It was the right terms for the body parts, and so we ran it all the way up to HQ, and literally it was a 2.5-hour debate before we got word back, yes, okay, let's run the quote. Because I said, you know, when you leave the story, when you're done with the story, I compared it to the Fire documentary that most everyone has seen by now.
Yep.
Yeah, and there's a scene in the Fire documentary where, what's his name, Alex King or whatever, mm-hmm. what he would do for
Andy Clark.
Andy. Thank you, Andy. What Andy would do for that case of water is the only thing people remember from what was an outrageous documentary. And I likened that gopher hole quote to the same thing. And this crazy, outrageous story of all these things going on, the only thing I promise you people will remember is the dead gopher hole.
Well, you absolutely nailed it because you're right. It stuck with me since the moment I read it, and now I just can't get it out of my head, and I love you for it.
I may change my fantasy baseball team name to the Dead Joker.
That's exactly what you need to do. All right, before we get you out of here, you're going with Brady on Sunday, right? Or have you shied away?
Yeah, I think I like the Patriots in this. They wrapped up today. Both teams did. They're really done. Like, they finished. They went through their last walkthroughs today. The Rams were at Flowery Branch, I think, at the Falcons facility. The Patriots were at Georgia Tech this week. They both completed their last practices today. And really, they're off tonight. They can spend time with the people that they brought with them. And tomorrow, they just have a walkthrough at the stadium. They do a team photo at the stadium, and that's really it. And then it's go time. So all the preparations are over, and there's nothing left for these teams to install. And I think it's just hard to bet against the Patriots, man.
Yeah.
It's just hard. So I'm going with the Patriots.
All right, Jason, enjoy the game. We appreciate you giving us a couple minutes and hopping on about the story that, again, like it doesn't surprise me that it got twice as much as anything else you've written about LeBron and all the great stories you've had previously because you knocked it out of the park, man.
Thanks, guys. I appreciate it.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today. Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.